Good afternoon, and it's Ann Carrick in today for Brian Smith. We have several guests lined up for you this afternoon to talk about some different things. In case you want to call us, the phone number 333-9422 if you're a local call, and if not, 1-800-922-6060. We, of course, welcome your calls. Some of the things coming up, we're going to talk a little bit about taxes. Rather than waiting till April 15th, I thought we'd get a jump on it. I want to find out if you do your own taxes, and if so, why, or if not, why not? And if you have questions, we even have an expert who's going to answer some of those for you. Also, we're going to see what's going on at Sikorsky. We've heard a lot from the Teamsters Union and from the Teamsters and the striking workers, but what is going on inside Sikorsky? I have a labor relations expert who's going to talk to us about that and see if we can figure out what they're thinking. And speaking of that, part of the issue, of course, is healthcare and the insurance and the cost of it. So I have someone who's going to talk to us about some alternatives on ways that companies can save a lot of money on their healthcare insurance costs without minimizing or diminishing the benefits for employees. And we also have an event coming up next week that you might want to know about. It's a business networking event and includes 7 chambers of commerce in this area, and it's free. So we'll try to give you some information on that so you can go.
So, of course, the only award I ever won in my entire life.
You didn't go.
I had to have some other guy come up and accept it for me.
No!
And the funny thing about it was all the people in the audience knew who I was, because by that point I had done a bunch of movies and they had seen me around. They knew who I was. And you know, he's up there accepting the award, and people in the audience going, "That's not Joey Leone! The guy's stealing Joey's award!" So that was my one chance to accept an award in my life, you know, to give that speech. I want to thank all the little people and everything.
But wow.
I guess in the adult movie business, you can't even say that.
The little people, no. Probably
can't
not.
Even say that.
Now, you just heard in the news that President Bush is promising some more hurricane relief money for people in New Orleans. And, of course, they definitely need help. But I do have a question. I've lived through a major hurricane, and my question is, if you've lost everything and you have no job, you have no home, you have no way to earn an income and no place to go, do you stay where everything is ripped up, or do you move to somewhere else where there are jobs and apartments and homes? Even if it's temporary, you go there for 2 years, you get yourself back on your feet, and you go back. I mean, if you can help with the rebuild of the area, that's great. But if not, wouldn't it be better for you and the economy and even New Orleans to go somewhere else where there is work and then come back and help when you're back on your feet instead of needing help from others? Think about it. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But you brought up a good point, that is anybody crossing the picket line? And the latest numbers I have is that a handful of people as of Sunday, like 4 or 5 people had, and now I've heard that it could be as many as 30
wow.
have crossed the line. And I'm sure it's because of financial hardship. And you started to say that you hope they realized that there were some things they needed to do they do that.
As members of the Teamsters, if they cross a picket line, the Teamsters can. They don't have to, but the Teamsters have the power to put them on trial, bring them up on charges, put them on trial, and fine them. Unlimited amount of fines for crossing a picket line.
Okay.
If they resign
from the union first,
then the union can't do anything that they have done after the resignation's effective.
Okay, so it's not that they can't cross the picket line, it's just that they need to resign first so that
the union can fine them more than they actually make in the paycheck.
So that could be ugly.
Yeah.
There's some big players in the financial fields who are not offering them, and I'm going to say yet, because it seems like an offering they would have. Because HSAs are really IRAs, for the most part, the only difference is you can take money out of them to pay for medical expenses, whereas IRAs, you'd have a penalty if you took money out for medical expenses. Is that, I mean, that's in plain terms.
That's a good analogy.
Okay. And so the reason I say big players is I'm talking like the Vanguards and USAA and some of these people who offer all sorts of funds and investment opportunities or whatever, and certainly tons of IRAs. And there's a lot of those companies who are not yet offering HSAs, which I think is part of the reason people are still kind of scratching their heads saying, what are those? Are they the old MSAs, which weren't really such a great deal? Because HSAs, the person keeps the money if they don't spend it. So if you're not sick and you have $5,000 in an HSA, guess what? You still have $5,000 in your HSA and it's earning interest. And if you never use it when you retire, you have another IRA worth $5,000 plus all the interest it's accrued and whatever you added to it, correct?
That's correct, but at that point you would have to pay taxes on that unless you continue to spend it on things like medical care, long-term care premiums, and so forth.
So if you leave it in the account as a medical HSA account, then you don't pay taxes until you Until you close it out.
If you spend it on something other than qualified medical expenses, then you have a taxable event. And if you do it before,
like you want a new car, and then you're,
you're right. Yeah, before you're okay. 65, you're doing it for a flat screen TV, you pay an excise tax as well.
Okay. So as long as it continues to be used for medical related expenses that are, you know, like the allowable medical expenses, then it's fine. So even as someone retires, this is something they could continue to use for their medical expenses. Even if they want to run it dry.
They can spend it down as long as it's qualified medical expenses, but they also get another basket of things they can spend it on, too, like long-term care health premiums.
Right, which is a whole other topic. You could do a whole show on long-term care, which we won't get into right now. So what are some of the things that have changed in recent years? And one that comes to mind for me would be maybe home offices, where that used to be the exception. And now there's so many people who telecommute or work from home, you know, 3 days a week or something. Is that something you see a lot more of, that people have home offices that are legitimate home offices?
Yes, there are more of them than there were, say, 10 years ago.
And what are some of the pitfalls that people might want to look out for in the home office?
The pitfalls they want to look out for, basically, some people have a tendency, I think, to stretch the home office a little bit.
So all of a sudden, half the house becomes home office when it's really not?
And the stuff they put in there, like the computers, they think they can get a lot more deduction for them than they can, and they have to realize that the computer is a dual-purpose computer, like it's used for personal use and for home office use. They have to, you know, apportion the percentage of use and put that much on the depreciation rather than the whole thing.
Right. So in other words, if you use the computer half the time for work and half the time for personal, then you have to indicate that so that you don't put it all down as your office.
Right.
Okay. Believe it or not, it is coming up on 426, and we need to check traffic and weather again. So Commander Jeff is standing by.